MSW Media.
News with swearing. Daily Beans, Daily Beans. Daily Beans, Daily Beans.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Beans for Wednesday, April 21st, 2021. Today, Derek Chauvin is found guilty on all three counts. Bail is revoked and he goes directly to jail. Biden will not appoint the controversial Russia expert everyone was worried about. The House has rejected a Republican attempt to censure Maxine Waters. The Senate has set a hearing for the confirmation of Biden's nominees to the Postal Board of Governors. That's tomorrow, April 22nd. Schumer calls for the end of the federal prohibition of marijuana. And the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General blocked investigations into the Secret Service's role in clearing Lafayette Square for the former guy's photo op at the church. I'm AG.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Dana, wow, I assume you've been watching the coverage today of the verdict in the Chauvin trial.
I have. My goodness. I'm so, you know, there's a breath of relief, but we know that this is just the beginning, you know, and thank God that it actually went the way it should have. We watched him murder George Floyd. There's something wrong, obviously, with that system, but Thank God it went the way it did.
Yeah. Everyone deserves a fair trial. He got one. He's guilty. He's going to prison. So, and Andrew Torres is going to be joining me later to discuss it because, you know, we recorded Cleanup on Aisle 45, which came out today, but we had recorded that on Monday. We had discussed the closing arguments. We did a really deep dive into that. Mm-hmm. And so today he and I are on the beans after we get through the headlines here to discuss the verdict.
Fantastic. Good.
Yeah, it's I think that the whole world is collectively taking a breath.
Absolutely. I would agree. We saw this, the Black Lives Matter protests all over the world after this blatant murder that, you know, they were sparked in other countries. It was the camaraderie seen with the problems in the United States was actually pretty incredible. So I agree with you. This was a huge collective exhale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big step forward. And again, you know, I mentioned this when I talked to Andrew later in the show, but because I've already recorded it, you see, time is linear. I was like, well, I talked about this later in the show. That sounds like a weird statement to make. but, you know, it's so important that we understand that obviously this is the right verdict.
Absolutely.
And accountability has been had, but it's, you know, to call it justice, we're working still on justice, and this is a step forward. But of course, Reverend Al Sharpton says we would rather have George Floyd with us, obviously.
Of course.
Correct. This is the correct verdict. And it took less than 10 hours.
I know.
It's incredible.
I know we were all just really positive with that, but you never knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. And that's the problem with this country, right?
Yep.
That we didn't know.
Yeah.
All right. And you can join us also every Tuesday and Thursday on the Stereo app. We're going to be discussing this, I'm sure, at length this Thursday, Dana. And so if you have any questions or anything you want to bring up or mention, please join us on the Stereo app, stereo.com/AllisonGill. We have a lot of news to get to, so let's do that. Let's hit the hot notes. Hot notes. And of course, the lead story today is that Derek Chauvin has been found guilty on all three counts of the murder of George Floyd. And like I said, I'll be joined later by Andrew Torres to discuss that verdict. His bail was revoked and he was cuffed and taken to jail. So we'll go into that a little bit later. Now, in other news today, there are some other things going on today. The chief federal watchdog for the Secret Service blocked investigations proposed by career staff last year to scrutinize the agency's handling of the George Floyd protests in Lafayette Square and the spread of the coronavirus in its ranks as well. That's according to documents and people with knowledge of these decisions. Both matters involve decisions by the former guy that may have affected actions by the agency. His name is Joseph Kafari. He's the Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General. He rejected his staff's recommendation to investigate what role the Secret Service played in the forcible clearing of protesters from Lafayette Square on June 1st. That's according to an internal document and two people familiar who spoke on the condition of anonymity. After the sudden charge by police on the peaceful protesters, the Secret Service was able to move the former guy to a church at the edge of the park where the White House staged a photo op of the president holding the Bible upside down. Kufari also sought to limit, and then the office ultimately shelved, a probe into whether the Secret Service flouted federal protocols put in place to detect and reduce the spread of COVID within its workforce. Hundreds of Secret Service staffers were either infected with the coronavirus or had to quarantine after potential exposure last year, as the former guy continued to travel and hold campaign events during the pandemic. You and I talked about this, Dana.
Mm-hmm.
DHS investigators argued both investigations were essential to their office's duty to hold the department and the Secret Service accountable. The Secret Service has declined to answer any questions about the agency's role in Lafayette Square, though officials have stressed clearing of protesters was under the direction of U.S. Park Police. Now, Kafari's decisions not to pursue the probes were revealed in records obtained by the Project on Government Oversight, a nonprofit watchdog. They shared that information with the Washington Post. Staff argued that the COVID investigation should have been a high priority because of COVID,
yeah.
Right? An internal DHS report showed a spike in the number of Secret Service, like 130, like 10% of their workforce tested positive.
It knocked them out.
Mm-hmm. Now, Erica Paulson, a spokeswoman for the Inspector General. Why does the Inspector General have a spokeswoman? Anyway, she said in a statement that Kafari prioritizes investigations based on a limited budget and greenlights those that target the highest risks and are likely to have the greatest impact. So
what would you consider this?
So COVID, 10% of your staff has COVID, and you tear gassed peaceful protesters, and those, that's not a priority. Those aren't priorities. Quote, our office does not have the resources to approve every oversight proposal. I'd like to see what he did approve. I'd like to see what he did investigate.
Right. Let's see what the green lights were.
We have less. We have less than 400 auditors. It's fewer than 400 auditors, Erica. We have less than 400 auditors and inspectors to cover the entire Department of Homeland Security, an agency with almost 500,000 employees and contractors. Like all inspectors general, we have to make tough strategic decisions. And so we decided to let 130 officers or 10% of our workforce get sick with COVID. No, they didn't say that, but might as well have. In both of these cases, we determined that the resources would have higher impact elsewhere. Higher impact elsewhere. So staffers inside the Inspector General's office privately complained that Kufari, this is a former guy nominee, by the way, confirmed in 2019, who previously worked for two GOP governors, Brewer and Ducey, Doug Ducey, at times appeared skittish. He appeared skittish about investigations. That if you're the inspector general,
maybe skittish.
Maybe you don't want to be skittish about investigating shit.
Yeah, I don't want to, that's how I don't want people to describe my investigative general that way.
Yeah, it's skittish about investigations that could potentially criticize the former guy's policies or actions.
I mean, they are afraid of him, which is just it's just nutty. AG, you know, I feel like if someone that was like off the grid for the last 5 years was at a bar and the former guy wandered in, you know, to have a non-alcoholic beverage because apparently he's sober, whatever. apparently he doesn't drink, let's put it that way. If he met Donald for the first time, I feel like this guy would be like, get the fuck out of here. You are the president of the year. You were the president. Get the fuck out of here. No one would believe it. No one would believe it. Oh my goodness. AG, this next story, there's just so much in it. And it's also just adding sort of to the frustration of what's happening right now. The House on Tuesday rejected a Republican attempt to censure Representative Maxine Waters. Now, that's the good part, for calling on protesters to get more active and get more confrontational if a jury votes to acquit former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Now, we know that. Obviously, today he was not acquitted. However, the House Democrat leaders quickly came to Waters' defense and denounced the resolution as a cynical political ploy to draw attention away from inflammatory and extremist remarks recently made by Republicans. And that's including the former guy, and argues that Waters was calling for peaceful protests, not violence.
Mm.
So that obviously is a big difference. The party line vote to table or kill the censure resolution was 216 to 210. We've got to fix that in the midterms. That number is just too close for me. So the criticism of Waters' comments over the weekend during a rally at Brooklyn Center went beyond partisan political sniping. The judge in the Chauvin case, Peter Cahill, admonished her out loud from the bench on Monday. While dismissing a motion by the defense for mistrial, we covered this yesterday, he singled out Waters' statements and said it would be an issue during appeal if Chauvin is found guilty. He went on to criticize public officials for commenting on the case before a verdict. Very frustrating, obviously, because of what's gone on the last 4 years with the former guy. However, this is a quote, "I think if they want to give their opinions, they should do so in a respectful and in a manner that is consistent with their oath to the Constitution, to respect a co-equal branch of government," he said. "Their failure to do so, I think, is abhorrent."
It might as well have just called her a nasty woman and a shill and
exactly
everything else. You should speak respectfully.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
It really is. So President Biden faced criticism on Tuesday as well for weighing in on the case before the jury had reached a verdict. Now, this piece of shit, House Minority Leader, there's no other way to describe Kevin McCarthy.
There isn't.
He introduced the privilege resolution that would have censured or formally condemned Waters' rhetoric. And he said, "Chairwoman Waters' actions are beneath the dignity of this institution," he wrote on Twitter. "They raise the potential for violence, directed lawlessness, and may have interfered with the co-equal branch of government." Now, I repeat, that's Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who had to give back campaign donations when he was caught taking money from Russian sources. Now, the guy allowing a guy being investigated for sex trafficking remain on the Judiciary Committee. He allowed Matt Gaetz to stay in position. This is the guy who allows Nazis to serve openly in the caucus. You know, the guy has problems with what Maxine Waters has to say. Not I call her Breitbart, Boebert, however the fuck you say her last name.
Boebert.
You know, not Marjorie Taylor Greene, mm-mm, not any of these crazy, and I say crazy, and I use that in the term of they're mentally unstable.
Yeah. The Anglo-Saxon Engineering Caucus or whatever the fuck her and Gosar came up with and then said, "We didn't do it. It was a staff level memo that we didn't read." Okay, that's fine. You're cool with that.
I'm actually shocked that McCarthy didn't come out and just call Maxine Waters uppity, because it's a very racist fucking stance that he's taking on this.
It is. Yeah. And speaking of Russia, a Russia expert who's bid to join the Biden National Security Council sparked an outcry among prominent critics of the Kremlin. This guy's no longer under consideration for the role, according to three people familiar with the matter. I was one of the people outcrying about this guy. Matthew Rojansky, the director of the Wilson Center's Kennan Institute, was being considered for the position of Russia director at the NSC, an influential role that would make him a key touchpoint between various cabinet agencies seeking to drive a concerted response to Russia's aggressive moves in Eastern Europe and beyond. Several current and former senior officials warned the White House against hiring Rojansky, arguing that appointing him would signal a conciliatory U.S. policy toward Moscow. That's according to the people who requested, who talked to the Times, requested anonymity, because they'd be in trouble if they
said
it out loud. Rojansky got far. He got far in the process, according to these folks, and he was being considered for the role for at least 6 weeks before his name was made public by Axios. Thank you, Axios. That report provoked an uproar among well-known Russia hawks, including Bill Browder, who we've had on Mueller, She Wrote, to tell us about the Magnitsky Act. He's the architect of the Magnitsky Act. Gary Kasparov was against this. The largest Ukrainian-American organization in the country. Also, I was against this. I know that's very important to them.
We should lead with that. Don't bury the lead, AG. It's almost comical at this point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I won't bury the lead. Sorry about that. Rojansky's critics have pointed to the Kennan Institute's 2015 award to Russian oligarch Peter Avin and an open letter written by Ukrainian alumni of the Kennan Institute in 2018 that slammed the think tank unit as an unwitting tool of Russia's political interference. So it wasn't even like he wasn't hard enough on Russia. He was like friends, like he's pro.
Like palling it up, yeah.
Right. And the internal dispute over Rojansky's consideration comes amid escalating tensions between Washington and Moscow. As you know, we just sanctioned a bunch of folks and institutions. We expelled 10 spies. I'm sorry, diplomats.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Spies. The Biden administration last week unveiled those targeted sanctions, as we know. So that's kind of a tense time right now. And the volley of retaliatory actions, along with Rojansky's ultimate failure to secure the job, suggests the hawks hold more sway at a time when Joe Biden is still trying to find his footing on Russia, balancing tough rhetoric with calls to lower tensions. I'm glad the Hawks have his ears, and I'm glad they won out on this one.
Indeed. Oh, my goodness. Now, Senate Majority Leader Chuck, Mr. Schumer. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to use a word in this article, and AG, I didn't talk to you about this first because I want it to be an organic conversation, but and I'm going to change it, and I'm going to tell the listeners why. So Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said on Tuesday that a group of senators working on legislation to end the federal prohibition on marijuana is aiming to have draft legislation in the near future. Now, I just want to say at the top of the story, I'm constantly learning that we should not be using the term marijuana. It's a political term that was given because they wanted to basically make it a Hispanic name for the drug so that when it was put into the public, that the Hispanic population, which is so highly arrested, charged, put into prison for very minor offenses with cannabis, they started using the term marijuana so that when you heard marijuana, you thought about the Hispanic population. So I will say it in quotes where it is in quotes, but otherwise I'm going to try and start using the words cannabis, pot, weed, and stop saying marijuana because I want to do my part in this. So I just wanted you to know why I was doing that.
Good call.
Yeah. Schumer discussed the legislation that he's working on with Senators Cory Booker, Democrat, New Jersey, and Ron Wyden, Democrat in Oregon, from the Senate floor on Tuesday, which he referred to as what you might call a very unofficial American holiday, 420. A lot of people celebrate it. A lot of our listeners, I've heard you on our after hours stereo show.
I left weed and cookies out for Snoop Dogg.
See?
So you know what's
up.
What you do.
You know what's up.
And I love that the term 420 is being tossed around the Senate right now.
Isn't that hysterical that they actually have to say that? And then you have to explain to these old fucks like Grassley, which his name's Grassley, which is also another term for pot.
Did you hear what that dumbass said today? He said that the moving baseball out of Georgia is going to kill 100 million jobs in Georgia. There are 10 million people in Georgia.
In his defense, everyone has 100 jobs in Georgia. Every single person in Georgia has 100 jobs. I don't even think that math is correct.
And I mean, there's only 130 million working people in the United States. Like,
I know, God. I can't. It's almost like watching, and listen, I don't like Zuckerberg. He's a fucking, you know, I have opinions, but it's like watching Zuckerberg explain Facebook to the Congress and what, you know, the cloud is, and then watching everyone's head explode. Anyway, this is Chuck Schumer said, Senators Booker, Wyden, and I are going to continue to work on our legislation, and in the near future, we hope to have a draft on a comprehensive reform effort. He added that the forthcoming bill would end the federal prohibition, but also, quote, ensure restorative justice, protect public health, and implement responsible taxes and regulations. It's time for change. I believe the time has come to end the federal prohibition on marijuana in this country, he said. Schumer, who said that his own thinking had evolved, pointed to the changes to the state cannabis laws across the country, including in his home state of New York, which officially legalized recreational cannabis for adults. So Schumer, and cannabis is also the medical term, so that helps with the, you know, legalization, especially because right now it's medical. Schumer vowed earlier this month that he would move cannabis legislation even if President Biden wasn't on board. He told Politico in an interview that he wanted to give Biden, quote, a little time to study it, but at some point we're going to move get forward.
He wanted to get Biden high. That's basic.
Yeah. Puff, give Biden, study it. All right, this bill faces an
puff, pass the legislation.
You're fucking up the rotation, Biden. All right, this bill faces an uphill path to passing the Senate because it would need 60 votes to overcome the filibuster. So the House passed a separate bill this week that would allow banks and financial institutions to work with cannabis businesses. So that is a very good sign.
Yeah, I wonder if the Senate will be up for that since it's got to do with money and big business.
Oh, I bet there's a better chance.
Yeah, definitely a better chance than the other part. I'm glad they're putting this together. I wish it was something that the Attorney General could just do, but the legislature is required to remove something from the prohibition, the schedule. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. All right, everybody, stick around. I'll be right back with Andrew Torres. We're going to talk about the verdict today, the charges and everything. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's AG for the Daily Beans. As a jogger, I have tried every single omega-3 supplement you can think of, and I've got to say, EWI is the best one I've ever used. There's a secret algae, is a whole nother level than plain fish oil. It's amazing. Here's why I love EWI. Fish and krill get their omega-3 by consuming algae. That makes algae the original and best source of omega-3. With EWI, you skip the middle fish and the nasty fish taste. You know how oil and water don't mix. That's what happens when fish oil is in your body. EWI's proprietary form of algae lends to 50% more absorption than fish, krill, or other algae oils. The world's highest absorption of any source of omega-3. Don't be fooled by imitators. Not all algae is created equal. EWI's patented formula goes straight to your bloodstream. More absorption, more health benefits. In a clinical study, EWI cholesterol helped reduce bad VLDL cholesterol by 25% on average in just 3 months. That's amazing. And to top it all off, EWI's products are plant-based, sustainable, sourced, and farmed in the U.S. Give EWI a try, and you're going to love it as much as I do. That's why I've arranged for all listeners to get this amazing offer. You can only get here for a limited time. You can save 30% on your first purchase by going to eweelife.com/dailybeans using promo code dailybeans at checkout as well. And be sure to watch the really cool video that shows you how EWI is better absorbed by our bodies. That's eweelife.com/dailybeans. Promo code dailybeans for 30% off your purchase. eweelife.com/dailybeans and promo code dailybeans. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Today, I'm joined by real-life lawyer, co-host of the Opening Arguments podcast, and co-host of Cleanup on Aisle 45 with me, Andrew Torres. Welcome.
AG, thank you so much for having me here on The Beans.
I am glad to have you today on The Beans because we just got word, as you know, that the jury has come back with a verdict in the case of Derek Chauvin, the trial murder of George Floyd. He was found guilty on all three counts. The jury only deliberated for between 9 and 10 hours. And I mean, they came back fast. I got whiplash.
So let me drill down on those two things that you just said, because number one, you're going to be too modest to say that you have been calling guilty on all three counts since pretty much the beginning of the trial. So you were 100% correct. I had hedged my bets. I said we're definitely getting a guilty verdict on one of the murder charges and on manslaughter. But given, you know, history and inherent legal conservatism, I sort of hedge my bets a little bit. So, number one. Number two, it cannot be emphasized in a highly publicized criminal trial just how short a time period this was, just how clear it was to the jury. There were probably no holdouts in the initial voting. What the foreman will do is, kind of conduct a straw poll because Minnesota has a unanimity requirement. It's got to be 12-0.
I mean, they're sequestered. They're meeting at a hotel. They're deliberating at a hotel. So they get pile on a bus. They probably take a lunch. They go to the hotel. They meet up. They sit down and they go, where's everybody at?
Yeah. Well, so, yes, that's all correct. You start off with, kind of polling the room, and then you go through the elements of the crime and the instructions that have been handed down by the judge.
The chocolate chip cookie ingredients. Yeah. You go through the chocolate chip cookie ingredients one by one.
Well, and you're giving us a preview of tomorrow's cleanup as well, today's at the time you're listening to this. It was one of the reasons why, and we're going to talk about strategy here, I imagine. But the defense strategy was, not good from the very beginning on this.
Well, they didn't have much, right?
Well, I mean, that's true.
When you think about the hurdles they had to even attempt to overcome, and that's sort of my initial thought was relief and gladness. Yep. For the family and for justice. But my very next thought was, what about everyone whose interaction was not videotaped?
I look at this as the potential to change the floor, right?
That's my hope. Yeah. That's my major hope, yeah, is that, yep, and you know, and they're calling for the passage of the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act.
Yep. Yep.
The family was on the phone with Biden today. Biden said he promised he would sign it if it got to his desk. And one of the speakers today after the hearing, after the verdict came out, said, Nancy Pelosi called us. She has guaranteed us she has the votes to get it in the House. Biden called us. He has guaranteed us he will sign it. We got one little hiccup in the middle, and that's the United States Senate.
Yep.
So,
yeah, indeed.
I'm not
do.
Sure how that's going to make it past Republicans. But he did say we'll hold them accountable when election time comes if they vote no.
Right. And really, you know, what's going to happen is it will not come up for a vote. And then the pressure will be on Manchin and Sinema for, all right, how much of this are we going to allow to happen? Right. And this is something you and I have talked about on cleanup.
Well, you got to get 10 Republicans along on board
to break the filibuster. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But
Manchin and Sinema aren't the only considerations at this point.
No. Sorry. Let me be explicit. We have talked about this on cleanup as the long term strategy for eviscerating or at least modifying, otherwise blowing up the filibuster. And that is, you have to be able to go to the American public and say, look, you know, we have bills X, Y, Z, and A that are favored by a majority of the public.
Okay. You're talking about the filibuster.
Yeah. That's right. So yeah,
you're talking about blowing up the filibuster, and this, yep, could be the mantle that puts the pressure on Manchin and Sinema to blow up that filibuster to get the Policing Act passed. Is that where you're going?
That's right. And in my view, every one of these bills that, you know, either have or are going to stall out in the Senate are really good club to take to the American public to say, hey, look, we have the votes to deliver a national $15 an hour minimum wage. That's popular with 70%+ of the country, right? We have the votes to deliver real voting reform. That's popular with 65%+ of the country. We have
background
the votes.
Checks.
Yep. All of those. And at some point, you know, you wrap it up and you say, at some point you say, all right, you know who's responsible for this and you know how to fix it.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
Today's a day for optimism. So,
yes, you're absolutely right. And I do think that, you know, talk a little bit more about creating the floor is what you said.
Yeah.
We have now raised the floor, right?
Yeah. I cannot recall. A bunch of people asked me this. And I do not think we have an example of a guilty verdict in a police brutality case with a white officer and a black victim. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I can't find one. We have the Muslim African American police officer who was convicted with respect to the blonde Australian woman. I'm blanking on the name. But by and large, this epidemic, the source of the BLM protests, right, of white cops beating up black defendants, we have zero history. You have that sort of concept of, the blue wall.
We don't have zero history in court. We have zero history.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Right. We have zero history of the courts delivering justice.
Yeah. And I believe that Reverend Al Sharpton brought that point up today as well. This is the first time.
Yeah. And so, you know, the pessimists in our threads are saying things like, well, you know, if you didn't get a guilty verdict here when you have the entirety of the crime from start to finish on videotape, when are you ever going to get it? And fair point. But, you know, everything's got to start somewhere. I understand this, right? But the fact that there were legal talking heads who said, I don't know what the result is going to be. I think that he might walk on everything. And you know, that it's hard to imagine an America in which that happened. I shouldn't say it's hard to imagine. It's easy to imagine an America in which that happens.
Well, that's why we, yeah. None of us were sure. None yeah. of us were certain.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, cautious optimism, right? When they announced that they had a verdict and that it was unanimous, I was like, there's no way all 12 would acquit. Is there? You know, just there's always that nagging in the back of your head. And, you know, because we remember this so much with Rodney King.
Yep.
And I mean, just there's just case after case after case after case of no justice. And in many cases, not even the police aren't even fired. In many cases, they aren't charged. They don't go to court. They aren't even fired. They're put on administrative leave and then brought back in, and then their records are expunged by the union. I mean, you know, we just have this long history that just puts that sense of doubt, you know, into your mind.
Yeah, and you correctly point out that, you know, this, in order, you know, in talking about this as a floor or as a first step, right? This has to be something where there is a coordinated response across all levels of government, right? And from federal, state, and local, right? You can look to Maryland. We talked about this a little bit, but Maryland just passed over Republican Governor Hogan's veto a trio of police reform bills that are really, really good starting place. And, you know, the fact that it got vetoed by somebody that, you know, has a reputation as a moderate Republican is a little terrifying, right? These were things like, you know, mandating the use of body cameras, right? That shouldn't be controversial, but apparently is. Changing by statute, because you can do this, the threshold for what counts as excessive force. Changing the way in which police discipline takes place, right? So, for example, in Maryland, as in many states, prior to the passage of this bill, the police disciplinary board was staffed by three police officers within the same department as the person who was being charged. And the Maryland law was, and one of whom must be the same rank as the officer being charged. So in other words, you could and often did have the situation where if you tried to proceed to disciplinary hearing against a high-ranking police officer, you could have the three, quote, judge panel being two of his subordinates and one of his co-workers. That, you know, that's ridiculous, right? Your dismissive snort says it all there, right? Like that. So we need legislative reform. And look, like this, you and I have been talking about this on Cleanup for 2 weeks. The adjective I would use to describe the prosecution in this case is workmanlike, right? There was no grandstanding. There was no, you know, it was just what's the best way to deliver a guilty verdict, which if you're a prosecutor, that's your job. Right.
True.
And they did their job. Right. They started off with a coherent thesis and that was carried through and picked back up again in the closing argument. There's going to be a lot of distraction out there, but you can believe your eyes. And turns out that's a good argument.
They did have, I mean, the videotape. Yep. The video speaks for itself. I want to talk a little bit more about closing the gap between the two systems of justice. But I do have to take a quick break. Will you stick with me?
Of course.
Everybody, stick around. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's AG. If you're a business owner like me who's hiring, you're probably facing a lot of challenges when it comes to finding the right person for your role. You can go from not enough applicants with the right skills or experience to being overloaded with a ton of resumes to have to sort through. Yet you have to hire immediately, right? If you need this position filled ASAP. Many times the difficulty is not knowing where to post your job to reach the right people. Hiring can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/dailybeans. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent to over 100 top job sites with one click. Then ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job, and they actively invite them to apply. In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. It's no wonder 2.3 million businesses have come to ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. So while other companies overwhelm you with way too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for, the needle in the haystack. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/dailybeans. Once again, remember, go to this unique website, ZipRecruiter.com/dailybeans. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Everybody, welcome back. We are talking with Andrew Torres, host of Opening Arguments and co-host of Cleanup on Aisle 45, which is also out today. We recorded that on Monday after we heard the closing arguments, so you can hear our discussion on that and their strategy. But Andrew, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about these two systems of justice that we have. Now, there's really like 10, but like two major ones, right? And specifically with the news today, the reporting today about the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General, did you see that report? This is a Trump appointee.
I saw the headlines. I have not yet read the report. So
it's basically the same as what the headline says, which is that they blocked investigations into the Secret Service for their response to what happened on June 1st when they cleared out Lafayette Square, when they used tear gas against peaceful protesters to clear out the square so they could march Trump over to the church. They blocked that investigation, saying we had more important things to worry about.
It is what we saw in response to protests in 2020 was terrifyingly un-American. And I hope that a bunch of different things are running through my head. First, again, to plug aisle 45, we have Frank Figliuzzi on who talks about the fact that members of law enforcement overlap, become members of the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, the 3%ers. And so when, you have a top down, populist strongman that wants, your badasses in military gear with military hardware patrolling the streets. Oh, and by the way, as Frank also mentions, if you're ex-military, you get a leg up in terms of being hired on the police force. So
you do. Yeah, you get a 10-point preference is what they call it. And it's for any federal service or police force, or I mean, people can do it for whatever. Whether they want to do it federally or in their states for state government. Somebody had posted a picture on Twitter of a bunch of the Oath Keepers with guns and their vests and, tactical gear and said, why don't the cops shoot these guys? And I put, because those are the cops. Yeah. Like half of those guys are cops.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off like that. It is a perfect storm of, taking that military mindset from a top down directive with military hardware. To me, watching Lafayette Square, what was the most horrifying was not the tear gas. Okay. Now, and mind you, the tear gassing was super bad, right? Like it is really, I've read the instructional manual. Like the point of tear gas is to flood choke points, so as to get a crowd to disperse, not to wait until they are densely gathered and then see how many of them you can make sick. That's disgusting. But to me, the far worse was watching, these Capitol Police with the Lexan riot shields physically shoving journalists out of the way, that coming around the corner and slamming them into the wall and breaking the camera. And I just think about Montana Congressman Greg Gianforte, who, picked up a journalist and body slammed him and then won his congressional race, will probably be the next governor of Montana, right? Like at some point, I don't know how you look at that and say, like, forget red or blue. Like, that's not America.
Yeah. And one of the lawyers was making comments after the verdict came in today saying, you know, like black men running away from police, getting murdered while they're running away from police, while Kyle Rittenhouse, white men, walk toward the police with assault weapons and don't get shot. It's astounding.
The reports, I assume you've seen these, on the number of law enforcement officials that have donated to Kyle Rittenhouse's defense fund. It's just, you know, and we saw the video of, you know, at Kyle Rittenhouse, right, 18 years old, 17 years old, right, like, shows up and, you know, there to play army, and the cops are tossing them water bottles. And it just, you know, speaks for itself.
Yeah. And I mean, well, you know, there are several Capitol Police during the insurrection who are under investigation for letting people through the doors or taking selfies with people. So, I mean, we see it all the time. And I think you're right. I think today's verdict, I mean, it's, you know, at, like Reverend Al Sharpton was saying, it's cause to celebrate, but we're not celebratory.
Yeah.
We would rather have George Floyd alive.
Right.
Then, you know, but this verdict is an important starting point. And I concur with you on that point as well. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. Everybody, check out Cleanup on Aisle 45. You can hear our deep dive into the closing arguments and some of the defense and prosecution strategy. Yeah, guilty on all three charges. Those three charges are what? Second degree murder, second degree manslaughter,
and third degree murder.
And he will only serve time for the highest level, which is up to 40 years. And there will be a hearing that the judge decides if there's going to be aggravated time, right?
Yep. That first memorandum is due in a week. The other thing that happened at the close of the trial that, you know, is a commonplace occurrence is Derek Chauvin's bail was revoked, right? And he was handcuffed, remanded to the custody of the Minnesota State Police. So, you know, he's in jail. He's in prison.
Is it jail or
prison?
Because I put
should be.
Because I put he goes directly to jail, and somebody was like, "No, it's prison," and he sentencing's in 8 weeks. I'm like, or he goes, "No, it's jail." Whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Because it is state and it's pre-sentencing. It is in fact jail, but the fact that you and I had to go back and forth will tell you, right? Like lawyers do not. Yeah, you know, we love technicalities. This is the one thing, you know, you do not gig each other on. You're like, get out. Don't send my client to jail. Like, that's a thing you say, even if it's, you know, a federal penitentiary. So,
yeah, I just like prison. I just think it sounds better. But yeah, it's like in the Navy, I was on a boat. We call them all boats. And people are like, no, it's a ship. And I'm like, okay, Marine, stop talking. Whatever it is we give you rides places. But no, I know it's jail. Everyone on Twitter, I know it's jail, okay? I know it's jail. I thought that was a very important part of this as well. And I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anybody convicted of murder then allowed to still be on...
No.
Released
right.
on bail.
Yeah. Because you have now been adjudicated beyond a reasonable doubt, you know, as a murderer. So we lock those people up in this country. So good to see that.
Yeah, it was nice to see him taken out in cuffs. And he stood up and put his hands right behind his back. He knew the drill.
Yep.
So, all right, everybody, thank you so much. Listen to Opening Arguments if you get a chance. And you and I, or you and me, I don't know, us, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern on Stereo. And then you also have an Opening Arguments on Stereo on Wednesdays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. So everybody check that out, too. Andrew Torres, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Everybody, we'll be right back with the good news. Hey, everybody, it's AG for the Daily Beans. Let's face it, we all probably have something we should go see a doctor about, but we've been putting it off. But your health is too important to ignore. So if making a doctor's appointment feels like a chore and you don't want to wait in crowded waiting rooms, PlushCare is here for you. They make it super easy to schedule an appointment to see a doctor so you can prioritize your health hassle-free. PlushCare provides virtual doctor appointments through your smartphone or computer you can do at home in your jammies. You just pick a time that works, book an appointment, click, right online. Super easy. I don't have to sit on hold forever, and I don't have to go to crowded waiting rooms. With PlushCare, I can be diagnosed, treated, and even have prescriptions sent to a pharmacy of choice if needed within minutes. PlushCare accepts most major insurance carriers, and it's available in all 50 states. And the doctors care. They're great. They're here to help by discussing treatment options and providing medications. And they're available anytime if you have any questions. And if you're having difficulty managing your emotions or your stress or your anxiety, PlushCare doctors can help with that too. Schedule an appointment today to discuss your treatment options. I found using PlushCare to be such a pleasant experience. It was so easy to schedule an appointment. Very user-friendly. It's incredibly convenient. I don't have to go to that crowded waiting room, wait on hold on it for hours on the phone. It's really, really amazing. To me, the most important thing is our health, so it was wonderful how simple PlushCare made it to put my health first. PlushCare makes it easier than ever to take care of yourself inside and out, so start your membership today. Go to plushcare.com/dailybeans to start your free 30-day trial. That's plushcare.com/dailybeans for a free 30-day trial. plushcare.com/dailybeans. Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news. Well, we'll float on good news. It's on the way. Dana, we've got a lot of great good news.
Thank goodness.
And a lot of good, great news. If anybody has any that you want to send into us, corrections, confessions, your favorite swears, what the mutt, misheard song lyrics, whatever you're into. You want to start a new game? Let us know. You do that at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. Our first submission is from Carrie, pronouns she and her. Hello, I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed the pod every morning while walking my dog. You are all smart, funny, and so informative. My girl Rosie and I just celebrated our one-year anniversary, and she would like you to guess her breed. I don't actually really know for sure, so whatever you say.
All
thanks
right,
again
good.
For making my mornings.
I say Pitbull, Great Dane. I'm just kidding. This looks nothing like if we get a free pass on this one, I'm going to fuck it up as much as I can.
This is an Australian Shepherd mixed with some type of terrier.
Wired hair terrier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's what I say.
So cute.
Oh, my God.
The baby's very cute.
Oh,
thank you for kicking us off with that. Oh, I love cute pups. All right. This is from Olivia, pronouns she and her. I wanted to share a fun story for my weekend adventures camping with my 7-year-old twin boys. While fishing for the first time, my younger, by a minute, son caught a fish and was beyond thrilled. After taking a picture, we threw it back and my other son was miffed he hadn't caught one. Well, moments later, he indeed caught a fish himself. We had just barely thrown it back when the first one was almost pulled into the lake by one strong catfish. Her little one was almost taken into the lake. This fish took both of us to reel in. He was beyond thrilled with his catch. I've attached a picture of the lake view from my hammock spot. God, this whole place sounds magical. It was such an awesome break from reality.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a lovely view of the lake. And I hope there's something delicious in your cup.
Woods, lake. Sippy cup.
Indeed. I know. It looks like a good day.
Wonderful. Thank you for sending that in. Next up from Emma, pronouns she and her. Emma, it says. Greetings from the kitchen listening patron from Australia. I just want to thank you both, your gorgeous ladies, for your sound effects, especially when discussing Gatesgate. They make a disgusting news story much easier to listen to. Puts a smile on my face every time. Also, thank you for teaching me about pronouns and educating me on the LGBTQIA or TIQA, she says, plus community. Being an educator in a very inclusive and open high school, it has allowed me to approach conversations in a much gentler and understanding manner. It has also enabled me to feel more confident that I won't totally fuck up when I attend the school's diversity club as a proud supporter of upcoming leaders. I am so glad I found you during these dark years. You make our world much brighter and better educated. For my pet tax, I'm including some photos of my babies, my 16-year-old virtually deaf and blind puppy, and my 5-year-old kid. Thanks to all the ladies who work on the podcast.
Oh, oh man, that pup is cute.
Oh, a little chihuahua mix.
Yeah.
Baby. Looks like a chihuahua corgi.
Oh, it's adorable.
A chikorgi.
A chikorgi. A corwawa. I think it might be a corwawa.
It's my doxy wawa instead of a
yeah.
instead of a Cheweenie. Yeah.
Right. Daxiwawa. All right. This is from Melissa, pronouns she and her. Now, back on April 6th, I registered to get a text message from my provincial government. I'm in the BC, so I could sign up for my first COVID vaccine dose. Now, because British Columbia is doing an age-based system, I wasn't expecting to get my first COVID vaccine dose until the end of May at the rate that BC was going. I'm in my early 40s. I knew Alberta had lowered the age for those getting the AstraZeneca vaccine and had expected BC to follow suit and to lower it to 45 plus. So imagine my surprise when I got a text message inviting me to book my appointment for my first COVID vaccine dose at around noon on Monday. Ooh. I'll be getting AstraZeneca vaccine as BC has lowered the use of AstraZeneca to 40 plus. And because I live in COVID hotspot in the province, I am going to get my first COVID vaccine dose on Monday morning. As soon as I found out I qualified, I was really happy, as it means that everyone in my family bubble, my maternal grandparents, my parents, my sister and I will have had at least their first vaccine dose by next Monday afternoon. Attached from my pod pet is the view outside my living room window.
Pod tax.
Mm. Thank you. Yes, my pod tax. My pod tech. Don't know what that was, but it's something.
That's lovely. That's a lovely view. Ah, thank you very much for that. I'm so glad that all your family has at least their first shot by Monday. Congratulations. Next up from C, pronouns he and him. Hi, AGDG and Amy. I'll get straight to the good news without a dramatic buildup. My dog doesn't have cancer.
Woo!
Okay, now that you know everything is okay, I'll backtrack a bit. Saturday, I was given my goodest boy's pets and found a lump just behind his shoulder. Anxiety immediately ensued, and I went to call the vet, only for them to be closed until Monday. Once I was finally able to call Monday morning, I wasn't able to get an appointment until the following day. Once I was finally able to get him in, easier said than done when the dog was 85 pounds and doesn't want to go somewhere, the vet checked him out. Took a biopsy. A few hours later, I got the call. Everything was fine. It's just fat. It isn't a problem. And my blood pressure dropped about a million points. I was told not to worry about it, but the vet did prescribe consistent diagnostic PETs and scritches to keep an eye on it and make sure that it didn't grow to cause him any discomfort. I'm including pics of my guy below. Feel free to play around what the mutt with him. I'll put the answer at the end. Also, I'd just like to cast another vote for AG to take time for herself regularly. My day job is an independent contractor, and my job security depends on constantly producing. I think I've gotten 10 days truly off in the last 2 years, so I absolutely know what it means to be part of the hashtag team one day off, or team no days off, excuse me. And I'm sure you feel like you really should be doing something when you take the day off, and that you're just a lazy jackass for not doing anything. Yes, that is exactly how I feel. I'd sit around my house doing nothing going, well, I could read the news right now.
Like,
resist the feeling and know that you are going to be even better by taking the time to rest and recharge.
Look at this baby. Okay. I say German Shepherd.
Oh. Sorry, I just got to the
second
picture.
I know. So beautiful. German Shepherd. Rottweiler?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe Pitbull.
Lab.
Pitbull, German Shepherd. And maybe those ears are just adorable.
I'm going with a little bit of lab.
I'm going to say chow chow because they get around.
Okay. Scroll. German Shepherd.
Woohoo.
First one, Husky.
Huh.
Catahoula. I just want to say that. Mastiff and Corgi.
Oh, that's what that look is. That's a Corgi look.
Oh, those are not Corgi legs, but that's a Corgi look.
No.
Those
so cute.
So
how'd the Corgi get up there?
Hey, someone got down. Someone got down.
Somebody did get down. It wasn't a chow chow for once.
There was not. All right. This is from Melissa, pronouns she and her. In the shower the other morning, I put a few squirts on my loofah and started scrubbing my body, but it didn't lather up. I just already love the start to the story. Then I realized I used conditioner instead of body wash. And then realized that I was still probably relatively cleanish because I exfoliated, but now maybe I can skip the lotion step. I don't even feel bad. Fast forward to later that morning. My stepdaughter asked me if we had laundry detergent. I usually buy those laundry strips, but I just ran out and the next shipment hadn't come yet, but was pretty sure there was a bottle of detergent for emergencies. She washed a load, the hubs washed a load, and the 17-year-old man cub came in around noon and asked if we had detergent. I showed him the bottle of what I thought was detergent. Guess what? It was fabric softener. I had to make a midday trip to the store for laundry soap. I not only haven't been paying a lick of attention to details, but I'm taking the whole family down with me.
At least it will be a soft landing. The pod pet tax. I've attached a picture of our cutie boys who turn 5 next month. Oh, thank you for this names. These names, Calvin and Hobbs, are inseparable and regularly conspire against the fat squirrel who eats all my pecans off the pecan tree.
Oh,
they are so cute.
God, they're adorable. We got a little tuxy here.
Oh my goodness.
And then we got a ginger. A gingy tabby. And the face on these boys, the faces are just so cute.
Oh my goodness.
They just look like frozen, like they're like, I'm in my box.
Yep. They're good.
I'm good.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me. So adorable. Thank you for sending these in. I love Calvin and Hobbs. They're adorable. Which one's Calvin? Is it the
I would bet the black one's Calvin and the white one's Hobbs, they've
got little
I'm right. I can see that.
Yep, Calvin is the tuxie.
Yep.
And Hobbs is the ginger. So cute.
So cute.
All right. Well, if you have anything you want to send us, even if it's just a photo, if you want to play whatever it is, anything but Monopoly. We don't play Monopoly.
No.
But anything else, you could send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. Do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here today, Dana?
No, I hope that they choose to leave some of these outtakes in for today's episode, because my goodness, it was a day for both of us. So thank you, AG, for getting through that with me and carrying me with you.
Yes, no problem. And again, Derek Chauvin is guilty on all Woo-hoo! 3 counts.
And my love and thoughts go out to George Floyd's family. I hope that they can at least start to begin the healing process now.
Yes, wonderful. Everybody, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of the planet, and take care of your mental health. I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the Beans. The Daily Beans is directed, written, and hosted by executive producer Allison Gill and engineered and edited by Mackenzie Mazzell and Starburns Audio. Staff writers include Dana Goldberg, Amy Carrero, and Allison Gill. Our copy is written by Jesse Egan, and our marketing manager, executive assistant, and social media director is Kanai. Fact-checking and research by Allison Gill, Dana Goldberg, and Amy Carrero. Our music is written and performed by They Might Be Giants. Our web design and branding are by Joel Reeder and Moxie Design Studios. And our website is dailybeanspod.com. Hey, everybody, do not miss our Daily Beans after party on the Stereo app. We'll be going live every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Dana and I want to hear from you. Our last Stereo show went a little bit like this.
What about you, ladies? What are your favorite nonsensical songs? The most weird, bizarre, silly stuff you can think of that you've heard through music. Thank you very much for all you do. Hope you're all well. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Oh my God, AG, I have an older gay brother. I don't know if that's relevant to the story, but I feel like it is because he had the B-52s on the record. So it was like, you know, we were into the, has anybody seen a dog dyed dark green, sunglasses and a bonnet, designer jeans with appliques on it. You're like, what? Keith Lorraine, like, I'm like, how many drugs was that person on? Nonsensical songs. You're so much better at this than I am. So you go first, because I bet you've already thought of one, and I'll try and think of one.
My favorite nonsensical songs come from They Might Be Giants, for example.
Oh, yes.
Boat of Car is really good. And then, of course, I'm going down to Cowtown. A cow's a friend to me. Lives beneath the ocean. That's where I will be. Beneath the waves, and that's where I will be. I'm going to see the cow beneath the sea. Yeah.
There you go.
No.
Although, were they talk? Was he whale watching? Is it really that obscure?
He won't answer any questions about their lyrics. I've asked multiple times.
Oh my God!
The best I love them.
Oh, go ahead.
The best I can get out of them is the explanation of Birdhouse in Your Soul, which we already knew, right?
Right. So. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm only being your bonnet.
Yeah, it's sung from the point of view. Sung from the point of view of a bluebird nightlight in the bathroom.
Yeah. I love that song. It's one of my favorite ones.